What's up, everybody? Welcome to SWAT MMA, where we're smoking weed and we're talking mixed martial arts. I'm Jared. I'm here with Paul.
What up?
We're coming to you from the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. This is episode 96, and we are going to be talking all about the UFC. We're going to be talking about boxing. We're going to be talking about the BKFC and some more subjects. Before we dive into all the combat sports, though, grab your weed, fire it up, and let's dive into the weed of the week.
Smoke weed every day.
All right. You know what, Paul? As I hit this joint that you just passed me, the people listening to our show right now, and we'd like to welcome everybody from KLVM, the Las Vegas Mix, joining us, our new radio station that we are featured on. We did the intro like 10 times.
Yeah,
because I forgot how to do it.
The power of marijuana.
After 95 episodes in the can, my brain froze up, and I couldn't remember how to do an intro.
Yeah, that was that two-week break we had, you know.
It's funny, man. Things like that, you do it a million times, and then for some reason, suddenly it's gone.
She gone.
And you think it has something to do with the cannabis, you're saying?
Perhaps.
Hmm.
What is that divine cannabis you are smoking?
This is an interesting theory you have, but this cannabis that we have right here, our weed of the week, is a new one. We've got some Blue Dream Haze.
Okay.
Yes. Not regular Blue Dream, but Blue Dream Haze.
Hmm. What is that crossed with? I wonder.
It is Blue Dream crossed with Super Silver Haze. Hmm. So this is a hybrid sativa. Blue Dream, one of my very favorites. It is blueberry crossed with haze. Blueberries and indica, haze, sativa. Super Silver Haze is a three-way cross. We've got skunk, northern lights, and once again, haze. I think it blends together really nice.
I'm just going to be say some really high shit right now.
Tell me.
Why is Blue Dream called Blue Dream and not called Blueberry Haze?
This is a solid question here. Especially when you look at the fact that we're smoking Blue Dream Haze, where they just took the two names and put it together.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where did they get the dream from? I think Blueberry Haze is a better
Blue
name.
Dream definitely sounds sexier than Blueberry Haze, but at the same time.
I don't know. You keep saying Blueberry Haze, and I keep thinking, I like that.
I do, too. That's the whole reason I brought the question
if
up.
If you told me you had some Blueberry Haze, I'd be like, oh, really? You
yeah,
do.
Right?
Tell me more. Super Silver Haze is also one of my favorites. But this is an uncommon strain out here in Las Vegas. I haven't really come across it. And I'm pretty happy to have found it. Do you have any thoughts on this fine cannabis?
It is quite fine.
We've also got some Thin Mint Cookie today, but honestly, we've
never had that
we've
strain.
We've had it on the show so much.
Talk
that we're
about
just
exotic strains.
Right, yeah. It's been on here so much.
Yeah.
We don't need to talk about it.
I still love it, though.
That's a great strain.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a phenotype of Girl Scout cookies.
Yeah.
Not that that's like, I said it like it's just a phenotype of Girl Scout cookies, Paul. It's all, well, it's like this kind of shitty thing. You okay? Did you stop smoking for the past 2 weeks we didn't do the show as well?
No, you want to know what's crazy? I've been smoking a lot of blunts lately.
Dude, blunts will fuck your lungs up, man.
Yeah.
If somehow you're listening to
our
show.
That's why if you noticed, you maybe not have seen because you guys didn't see before the show, but during those 10 times we redid the intro, I fucking smoked half this joint and didn't cough a single time.
This is true.
But now, getting to the middle and the butt end, who knows? Coughs are up for grabs here.
You know what I have discovered, Paul?
What is that?
There's a lot of people that listen to our show that do not partake of cannabis. Surprising to me. So there's actually some people that are like, what are you talking about? A blunt and you're smoking a joint? What's the difference? Well, the blunt is rolled with cigar.
Tobacco
leaves. Yes. Yeah. Yep.
Don't tell anybody.
Whereas joints are rolled with cigarette paper.
They give you a little bit more of a head eye.
Yeah, I mean, you get that tobacco in there.
Get you rushing.
And it's a hefty amount of tobacco, really.
Depending on what you're smoking. Like, you're smoking a backwoods, smoking a fucking...
Yeah, the last time I smoked a blunt, dude, I smoked a backwoods by myself, and I got sick from the tobacco. Like, it fucked with my stomach. It was too much.
I'm smoking a lot of Swisher Sweets.
Because even, you know, when most people smoke cigars, they don't inhale that shit.
Yeah.
You know, you hold it in the back of your mouth. But when you smoke a blunt, you're taking that full hit, and you still have that big-ass tobacco leaf wrapper around there. Smoke those daily, you're going to get the soreness.
Yeah, I don't really know how to smoke other shit, to be honest. Because, like, I've never really smoked, like, I've never been a cigarette smoker, never been a cigar smoker, never been a vape smoker. So, like, anytime I pick up a vape or a cigarette or a cigar and I fucking hit it, I'm like, because I fucking inhale. And I'm like, oh, wait a second.
Yeah, I've been all those things. Although I don't smoke cigarettes anymore and cigars only, like, once a year.
Yeah, well, cigars is more of like a celebration thing. It's not really. It's very rare you find yourself somebody who just fucking sits on their ass and smokes cigars all day, unless you're fucking rolling in the
dough. You got to be a fucking pimp.
Yeah, you got to be that. Like,
you're a fucking baller if you're smoking cigars on the reg. Yeah. I mean,
well, good cigars.
Good cigars.
Can't be smoking no Swisher Sweets running around like
that. No,
guys,
that's
G.
No.
But yeah, ultimately, I don't know.
Dude, a really nice cigar and a glass of really good scotch is a fucking is a treat. Seriously.
Well, yeah.
Like, the flavor enhances each other. Like, I like to smoke this brand called Acid. It's not a super fine cigar, but
you like to do Acid?
Yeah, it's a brand called Acid, but it's a good cigar, and they soak their tobacco leaves in all these essential oils, so they're like kind of sweet tasting on your lips.
I'm an idiot.
They're fucking delicious. Mix that with a blended scotch, like a Johnny Walker Gold. Fucking good stuff, man. Are you killing this joint over here?
Yeah, I did. Did the dumbest thing ever. You know, I just tilted it when it was fucking lit, and it burnt my finger, and I fucking kind of scorched it up top.
Man, you can go to YouTube. You can just go to YouTube and then go into the search bar and type in SWAT MMA podcast, and you can find episode 96, and you can see what Paul just did for yourself.
I thought you meant I could learn how to smoke a joint.
No, I was just letting our fucking listeners know they could go see that for themselves, because we do have video up.
Yeah, we do.
Although most people do catch us over the podcast.
Over the podcast? Over the radio?
Well,
got you back.
we had the podcast, and now we are on a radio station once again. You know, we went from WBUZ now to KLVM. Yeah, this joint's all jacked up now, dude.
Yeah, it's pretty fucked, but it is what it is.
Well, listen, everybody listening, I hope what you're smoking on is hitting better than this joint is now hitting. And with that said,
I'll light the packs up.
Fire up the packs, and let's get into some combat sports action, Paul, because that's what we do here. Yep. We're smoking weed, now we're going to talk mixed martial arts.
Just broke the fourth wall.
That's right. That's right. If I can fucking fix this.
So, yeah.
It's been a minute since we've had a show, and there's been a lot that's happened, but we're not going to talk about everything that's happened
real
over the
quick,
past 2 weeks.
Before
right?
we do anything else.
Tell me.
I fucking told you. That's all I got to say.
You fucking told me. Oh, you going to talk about Francis? Dude, I'm sad.
I know you're sad.
I fucking love Stipe. Everybody who listens to our show knows Jared loves Stipe.
It's true.
Fucking, yeah, man, that was brutal, dude. He got fucked up. God
dude,
damn.
Francis is scary.
He came in way too light.
True.
Dog. He came in at 230. Like, he was like 12 to 15 pounds lighter than the first time we fought him. And Francis cut weight to get to 265, dude. He came in at 263. So,
Which is weird because even he slimmed down a bit.
And it was too much, man.
Huge in there, though. Like, he was just. Bro, when he stuffed Stipe's takedown. Reshot and took Stipe down, I damn near shit myself.
Yeah, me too, man. It was crazy.
I was like, what the fuck? And then he started bashing Stipe's head in on top. I was like,
you're talking about round one? Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. I was just like, what the fuck is going on right now?
It was shocking. Amazing performance.
That head kick, too? Who the fuck has he ever head kicked somebody?
Yeah. And Stipe did not look good.
I know we're on a tangent, but I just had to do it because, you know, we had that time off, and I know how much you love Stipe. But
dude, I mean, it happened. It's not like I can be like, oh, no, that was bullshit.
It's unavoidable.
Nah, dude, like, dude, that's the fight game, though, man. Especially at heavyweight, like,
yeah,
you know.
And he's not too far away from getting right back and doing it a third time.
No, it would be a rubber match for them, you know.
Yeah, but I do think he needs to get head back to the shed, put some weight on. Similar kind of.
Definitely needs weight, dude.
Kind of what like Frank Mir did when after he fought Lesnar. Remember, like, first time he fought Lesnar, and he was like, dude, I'm way too small to fight this motherfucker.
Yeah, no, and that's just, a real, like, put some real weight thing. On. Yeah.
Stipe might want. Because that's the thing, is Stipe
is walking around at light heavyweight size.
Yeah,
dude. Light heavyweights walk around at 220, 230.
Yeah, he's weighing in just like his natural weight. Yeah.
And he's not cutting any weight. Where you've got Francis coming in at 263 cutting of weight. Pure solid muscle. Yeah. Who clearly cut weight.
What do you think Francis walks around at?
285.
Think so?
Shit like that. I figure.
What about Derek Lewis? You think either of them like hits almost the
Derek
threes?
Derek Lewis cuts weight too. He might. Derek Lewis might have before he got a little bit more serious.
Yeah, true.
I think he's probably more on point.
You think it's easy for those guys to cut weight?
It's never more than a few pounds. You know what I mean? When I say 280, I don't mean like he's cutting to 265. I mean like like we're talking, he doesn't have a fight booked.
Yeah, true.
He's fucking walking around. You know what I mean? He's not in fight shape. That's what I'm saying.
I'm just saying because even in the wrestling world, I've never really seen a heavyweight cut weight. And that's obviously 285 in wrestling, but you know what I mean. Like, it's very rare you see somebody at that size cut weight. It's nuts. And Derek Lewis and him both cut weight.
So he's a problem. And Stipe's size is a bit of a problem. He can't be losing weight like this. Like,
and let's just be honest. With what's going on with Jones and Ngannou in the UFC, is something literally at the point. It's at the point where you could talk about it every week. Like, let's just be honest. It's a saga that's going to continue for a minute. Whether he fights John Nutt or he doesn't fight John, if he fights Derek or whoever he fights next, it's all going to be up there. So it's something we can kind of talk about later. But kudos to fucking Francis for going back to the shed and putting together a hell of a performance.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. All right, so let's get to UFC Vegas over the weekend on ABC number 2.
You know, it was cool, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought the main event was a letdown because Till got injured.
I thought the main event was very similar to Holland's last fight. It was like a situation where the first round, it looked pretty good for him on the feet. You know, him and Marvin were training, but it seemed like, you know, he just looked a little faster than Marvin. And he just took it in his own hands and took him down for the rest of the fight. And
yeah, you're talking about Vettori rounds two, three, four, and five.
Four and five. He got him at the end of round one, but I don't know if it was enough to win him round one. I thought the only round Kevin Holland won was one, and it was close. Every other round was.
Yeah, then he goes on to get 11 damn takedowns. That's a record. And that's coming off the Brunson fight, which you mentioned, which I don't know offhand what the takedowns were.
Well, Brunson just held him down for so long that he never got up. He was fighting a lot to get up more in this one. He just couldn't stop from getting
up. Well, this is a problem for Kevin Holland.
Oh, yeah. I do think size was a matter in this one, too, though.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. He needs to be at 170.
Yeah, 170 seems like a good spot for him because if he's talking about he walks around like 182.
Yeah, he can't fuck around.
You could easily cut 12 pounds. Like, come on.
No, seriously, because it'll make it a little bit easier for him to stop a takedown if the guys are a little bit closer to his size and a little bit easier for him to get up. I'm not going to say it's going to fix
his
problem.
It's
going to
be a lot. Yeah, it's not.
It's not.
Well, he's also chosen
to get him a little bit more even instead of like not only are they taking you down, but you know they're stronger than you and they're bigger than you too.
Yeah,
it'll negate.
And well, here's the thing: is like he has great power. So like, even if he goes down, he's gonna carry that awesome power. Also, you know,
yeah, he doesn't
mean?
Have to do much to get down if he's walking around at 182. That's what most welterweights are walking around at.
Yeah,
185, 180, right in there.
Yeah. So ultimately,
there's guys in the cage that weigh 180 that are welterweight on fight night. I guarantee you.
Oh yeah, for sure.
So
Kamaru Usman is one of them.
Yeah. I mean, it's a 10-pound cut. That ain't a big deal for these type of
professionals. He's been doing that since he was a kid.
Yeah. So I think he needs to do that. I don't think the key is – I don't know if this is true. Is he really going to Dagestan, or is that just some bullshit that they're saying?
Supposedly he's legitimately moving to Dagestan for 8 weeks.
I guess that's what DC told him to do.
Maybe.
Because I heard he was going to D.C. for help with his wrestling, and then I heard he's moving to fucking Dagestan. That just seems crazy to me, but okay.
I mean, it could just be some bullshit, but...
And it just seems like pretty drastic. Like, if you need to improve your wrestling...
Or just go to AKA.
I mean, yeah.
Seems like Khabib's training a lot of people lately, so I don't see where he's... Maybe he's training out there. I don't know. But he was talking to Khabib that one time, too.
Well, I mean, you do you. I mean, it's not... I mean, they're great wrestlers out there.
I'm just connecting dots here. I don't know anything for sure, but if he truly is moving to Dagestan, like, he was talking to Khabib during that one fight, and then fucking... You know what I mean? So, maybe they made a connection.
Well, we'll see what happens, but... Now he's was on a hot streak, but now he's on back-to-back losses and fairly big fights.
Yeah, but neither of them have been, like, terribly damaging as far as, like, his physical ability. So it's, like, it's nothing that he's going to, like, look back on his career and be like, those are the two fights that was the cornerstone where he got beat up so bad he was never the same or something like that.
No, he's not done or nothing.
He's just had a fork in the road.
I think this clearly shows he should be down a weight class.
Yeah.
But let's talk about the winner now. This is good. I like Kevin Holland. I'm a fan.
Yeah.
I think Marvin Vettori winning is better for what's going on with this division as far as sorting out who the contenders are and who they aren't.
Yeah.
Especially if by some miracle, and I love Kelvin Gastelum, if by some miracle he beats Robert Whittaker, then Vettori is now the clear number one contender.
Yeah.
And we'll get in a little bit further into the Robert Whittaker part, but I think for Vettori, now he's got a 5-fight win streak. He has a history with Adesanya. It was a very close fight. A lot of people argue, I think correctly, that it was Adesanya's closest fight in the UFC.
I think the Kelvin fight's probably the closest just because it was such a war. I know he won it devastatingly, but, like, during the fight, like, what the adversity he had to overcome, I just felt like when he fought Marvin, there wasn't, like, a ton of adversity, like, towards him. I thought it was just a situation where Marvin was super game and, like, you know, everyone else Izzy had fought before that just weren't on his level. And I think Marvin's on his level, but I just don't know if he can beat Izzy.
Yeah, I don't know either. But I think he...
But yeah, I definitely want to see it again. Yeah, might as well. He's won these fights. He deserves it. This is, you know, he's beat the guys. I mean, it wouldn't kill me to see him fight another guy higher up in, like, on the ladder. If, like, needed be, if something happens.
Well, let's just say if Robert Whittaker wins and beats Kelvin Gastelum, then he's got also a very strong argument to get the rematch with Izzy. That'll be his third win in a row.
Yeah, and ultimately, I wouldn't mind seeing them fight to see, like, some kind of title eliminator.
I don't personally like that. I'd rather see it just go to Whittaker and either have Vettori wait in the wings or take another fight.
Yeah, but I do think it's a weird situation because I think it also... There's pluses and minuses to it. So here's the deal. Vettori and Whittaker both being 0-1 against Izzy, like who's a better asset to the UFC, do you think, like, at this point? Like, what fight sells better is basically my question. Whittaker and Izzy 2 or Vettori and Izzy 2?
Well, Whittaker, Izzy 2, especially if, like, it's open to go have them stage it in New Zealand or in Australia.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I tend to agree, but I think that also, like I said, it wouldn't kill me to see Marvin fight one more time. Like, I know he deserves a title shot and shit, but, like, if Whittaker were to win this fight, Marvin has to fight one more time, it wouldn't kill me. It wouldn't kill him either. Because if he truly is, you know, top level and, you know, deserving of the belt, fighting someone in the top five makes a lot of sense because, don't get me wrong, he's put together a string of wins, but there's really no top five opponent, like, signature win other than this fight with Kevin Holland, who's coming off a loss. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, Marvin Vettori's had some great wins, dominant wins.
But yeah, it's not his fault that Till broke his collarbone.
No doubt, and I'm not blaming him. And, you know, ultimately, I feel like him and like, Paulo Costa makes a lot of sense. If Paulo Costa got out of the Whittaker fight, he has to take a little bit longer with his COVID, you know, symptoms.
I'm not mad at that fight, I guess.
A month after, like, with what's all transpired, him versus Vettori is not, like, the worst fight to make if you do end up making that Whittaker and Adesanya second fight, you know?
Yeah, I think that's the way to go. I mean, it's on Vettori whether he takes a fight or not. But my final thoughts on that main event, I didn't really like watching it. I thought it kind of sucked. As a fan, it was like, meh. Whatever.
It was like watching the same fight 2 weeks in a row.
But you know what fight was good on that card?
What was that?
Arnold Allen, Sadiq Yosef.
Yeah, that was a good fight.
That was a fucking good fight right there.
Super back and forth.
It was 145 pounds.
Yep.
Right, the featherweight.
Both undefeated in the UFC.
Mm-hmm. They put on an excellent fight. Did that get fight of the night?
I don't recall. See how it couldn't have.
It was a great
fight. You
it
know what
have.
I think? It might have been Allen getting performance of the night. I don't know if it got fight of the night, though. But yeah.
Yeah, Allen gets the nod. He gets the win, and it was a great fight. Sadiq made it, if I remember correctly, he made a bit of a comeback in the third.
I thought, see, on my end, I kind of had Sadiq winning the fight, but I thought it was close.
It was a good fight. I didn't think it was.
I thought in the second and third round. But. First round, both guys were taking a lot of big shots and, like, a lot of risks. And I felt like Allen, like, did a lot more damage, but Sadiq was hitting him with a lot more volume and a lot more, like, different shots. You know what I mean?
Well, Arnold Allen's going to get a pretty big fight, I think, next time around here.
Well, that was, I think, like, 10 versus, like, 12 matchup or something. Like
exactly. So both these guys. I'm guessing he's going to wind up somebody in the, you know, 6'5 range.
Yeah, someone like a Shane Burgos or something like that.
So we'll see. That was a great fight on the card, though. What did you think of your girl Mackenzie Dern's victory over Nina Nunes, the former Nina Ansaroff, if you're wondering
who
that
Nunes
is.
Now?
Yeah, yeah. She's Nina Nunes. Yep.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was cool.
Well, she got whooped, though.
Yeah, she got her ass armbarred.
Armbarred, yeah. Yeah. Mackenzie hit her with four different accents at the end of this.
And she did, and yep.
Moved along. I love it because you know who does it too is fucking Vicente Luque. Same thing.
Does he?
He comes in and out with it.
Derns cracks me up. You think she was born in, like, raised in Brazil or something? Not
like
US.
And people get upset when people say this too because they're like, well, she's around people who are from Brazil and all this shit. But like, yeah, but she's also like lived in America like most of her life.
Right.
Like,
it cracks me up. You could do drinking games with her accent.
Yeah, because it pops in and out, too. Because then, like, sometimes she'll sound like a preppy little, like, you know, like a preppy
California girl.
Yeah, and that's not, like, a mean thing to say. It's just what it is.
We're not talking shit. These are facts. You can go, there's YouTube. You can go look it up and watch. I mean, it's not, we're not dogging her. It's just a thing that she does. I don't know how or why.
Get her a top five opponent also, though.
Dude, honestly, there's some people that they don't mean to. Yeah. But when they're in areas, they just pick up accents real easily.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like,
yeah.
It's not an intentional thing where they're trying to mimic. It's just whether subconsciously or not. You mean, you go to New York for 2 days and suddenly they're saying quota.
Quota.
You know, and they're from Colorado and you're like, wait.
What the fuck?
You know, and they're not trying to be a jackass or something. Yeah, it's just they just pick it up subconsciously. She could be something like that. Yeah. She's around a lot of Brazilians. Clearly.
But it is funny, though.
But it's fucking hilarious. But she made short work.
Yeah.
And her striking looked pretty good. We don't need to say her grappling looks good. Everybody fucking knows that.
Yeah, I mean, she's kind of doing what she was like. You know, she had a lot of hype coming in, and that loss a lot of people thought was going to, like, completely derail her, but she's just kept it trucking.
Yeah, she's putting in the work, man. Her striking's not good yet, but it's better. It's a lot better than it was when she hit the
UFC.
Well,
when you have the freaking level of jiu-jitsu that she does, you don't really...
You don't need to rely on her striking. It's kind of like Ben Askren. She's using her striking to hopefully get inside and set her takedowns and her jiu-jitsu up.
Yeah.
Like Ben Askren used his striking to set up getting inside and getting the clinch, getting the double legs.
Yeah.
Not to fucking knock people out.
Yeah.
So, but her striking has improved. She looked great. Mm-hmm. What another fight that you liked on that card?
Freaking that Julian Marquez choke on Sam Alvey was pretty nasty.
Man, Smiling Sam's lost 5 in a row now, dog.
Has he really?
He has.
That's crazy.
Like, that's the kind of guy who's a solid, like, mid, you know.
He's a fan favorite.
He's a fan favorite. He's a top 15-er guy. You know, I think he belongs in the bottom of the top 15. He's kind of been there perennially. Like,
sometimes.
He's there all the time.
Yeah.
Like, we went in here ranked something down in that.
Like that 15 to 20 range, he kind of floats there. But he's a fun watch.
He's a fun watch. He's got power. He looked not good.
Yeah, it was tough.
He got choked out, kind of funky.
Yeah. I saw a funniest meme. It was like, it was a picture of him getting choked out. And it was like, when your dog eats something they're not supposed to and you got to get it out of their mouth. It's just so fucked
and they're
up.
Like,
So it's just so fucked up. Because he was like, get sat up and, like, choke. That was weird. It was a weird one.
It was very odd. You can check that out on YouTube as well, folks. It's pretty bizarre looking. I don't know what that was called, but it's sad when your fucking your choke out face becomes a meme by the next fucking, you know, hour after the fucking event. So yeah. Smiling Sam might be out of the UFC. You know who else might be out of the UFC? And I don't know what's going on, and apparently he doesn't either. It's Mike fucking Perry, bro.
Yeah, he looked terrible, man.
Mike Perry got his ass whooped. This is after switching camps up, after becoming a father, after saying he's a new man, yeah, going to MMA Masters, putting in the fucking work. He went out there, and he looked like shit, bro. His fucking strategy seems to be to hurt his opponent's hands with his forehead.
Yeah. Well, is he putting the work in, though?
He claims to be.
He's also talking about, I'm a meal away from fighting 185.
I don't know, but after the fight, I mean, he was pretty real. He was like, I don't know what happened. I used to be good.
Yeah.
And that's exactly right. I don't know what happened either, because he did used to be good. I didn't think he's ever going to be champ, but he's a good fighter.
He's
regressed, though.
Yeah, he has, for sure.
He stands there. He throws
wild
punches.
Eats other shots.
He blocks punches with his forehead.
He's got a good chin, though, but only lasts so long.
He's going to lose it soon at this rate, but he might be out of the UFC, too, now, because now he's below 500. He's at Artem Lobov level fucking.
He's below 500 now?
In the UFC. Not his overall record, but as far as his UFC fights, he's now like 6-7.
Wasn't he undefeated at all point?
Yeah, I do believe.
He
still has potential, but something's going wrong upstairs, man.
Like, I don't know.
He's getting into the fight and he's reverting.
He's getting in fights in the fucking streets more than he is in the octagon. He's fighting, you know, the local restaurant manager every Saturday night. Your fucking fight skills start
to
regress.
Let's be fair, that old man did rush him.
He did. I'm not denying that at all.
But it did happen.
But it happened.
He is fighting in the goddamn restaurant and shit.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know, Mike Perry. I'm a fan. I like that dude. I think he's entertaining.
He's wild,
man. I always am happy to watch a Mike Perry fight, except now.
But sometimes it's like wild is
bro.
Wild when it's not like, you know. Here's the thing with like people like him, like they're like wild like that. It's like when they're focused on one thing and they're wild within that one thing, they're always great at it. But then when you like mix everything else in and you start, you know, doing all kinds of crazy shit all the time because you're the crazy guy, you know, sometimes it doesn't work.
We'll see if he can pull it together. What do you think about Mike Perry and Bellator or PFL?
I think it would be cool.
I think it would be cool, too.
Go to PFL, make a mil.
Shit, go to BKFC. I'd be down with that. We're going to talk about BKFC later, though. But
not if he's going to fight like that, though.
I don't know. BKFC, something like that might be just what he needs, honestly.
I know, but I'm saying for his own sake.
Well, I would imagine that he wouldn't, because, I mean, part of the reason you fight that way in MMA is because you're worried about takedowns and kicks and shit. So, I mean, he wouldn't have those worries, so his style should change up automatically.
Maybe.
By eliminating some of the concerns you have. But we'll see what happens, dog. But that's about it for that event. I mean, UFC is rolling them out here. We're almost to having crowds again.
Yeah, I think this is the last fight night event without a crowd.
Dude, I'm glad. I'm sick of these fucking Apex events, dog. I'm fucking tired of them.
Well, they had the little mini crowd, you know, Machine Gun Kelly and fucking Megan Fox and fucking, who was it? Who else was it?
Is that who he's with now? Megan Fox.
Travis Barker and fucking Kourtney Kardashian.
Yeah, cool. All these millionaire fucks that I could care less about. I mean, MGK is all right, I guess. He's got a song or two I tolerate. But I'm not
tolerate.
He did some cool shit in the COVID lockdown, man. He did some fucking covers on YouTube. Like, he couldn't release him his songs because they were fucking covers. And I don't think he had permission on some of the beats, but you can watch them on YouTube. They're fucking dope, but I don't like any of that. His new
punk rock shit.
That pop punk shit. Yeah. I can't fucking stand it, bro. I'm like, no, I'm not feeling that. I wasn't feeling much of it anyways, but... But so anyways, tall. I don't know. I'm not down with those kind of crowds, but I guess it's better than nothing.
Yeah.
It's better than nothing.
It is.
Let's talk about the final. The next UFC Fight Night Las Vegas from the Apex is the final one, as far as we know.
Not the final one, but the final one that's just going to be silent. There's going to be at least like 180 people in whatever.
You know, the governor of Nevada came out this week, our fine governor here, and said that June 1st.
May 1st.
He said, I saw June, but...
May 1st, 100%.
100% capacity, but face masks will be required.
Which I'm Gucci with. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, I don't give a fuck either. I'm over... When I get some anything people that are like...
Anything that gets me 100% capacity, I'm in.
Yeah, me too, man. Especially here. Like, it's vital to our fucking economy here.
100%. Like, lost fucking Vegas.
Brr. Like, I know everywhere had the COVID hit, but Vegas had the COVID.
Vegas had the hit.
I don't mean our numbers. I mean the tourist numbers. I mean casinos shut down.
People, like, the small businesses shut down. Yeah, that shit is crazy.
And, like, yeah. When you're dependent on the tourists and they ain't coming.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah.
Anyways, that's not what we're about. We're about to open up back again. So open back up again.
Yeah.
So hopefully that'll keep rolling with these crowds.
That's going to be cool, too. It's like these crowds are going to be way more rambunctious, I feel.
I would feel so, too, bro. I know I would be.
I would, yeah, for sure.
I know the first thing that I get out and do where there's a fucking crowd and you can yell and scream. I'm
gonna, scream, man. Yeah.
Fucking pass the beer. Let's get fucked up. Oh, yeah, bro. Hell yeah. So, what about this upcoming card, though? We got Robert Whittaker with a replacement fighter. Kelvin Gastelum filling in.
Yep. I think Robert Whittaker's going to fuck him up.
I like Kelvin.
I like Kelvin a lot. Kelvin, I do. I just don't fucking think. I feel like Rob's in, like, on a warpath, kind of. Like, he's in a. He's fighting so much smarter than he's ever fought in his career, I feel like, lately. Like, when you watch that Jared Cannonier fight, that was fucking perfect. That was, like, a perfect performance.
Well, here's the way I would sum it up. Kelvin Gastelum is a top-level UFC fighter.
I think he should be 170-pounder still.
Robert Whittaker is a world-class UFC fighter.
Yeah.
So, I think Whittaker's going to win as well, and I think he's going to go on and challenge Adesanya
again.
Don't get
me wrong,
though. Interesting.
Kelvin carries enough power to put anybody out at any point.
Yeah, he's one of those guys who's sneaky strong. He doesn't look like much. Like, the times that we've met him, like, I was surprised, like, I'm slightly taller than he is. I'm like, how are you fighting these goddamn monsters, dude? What the fuck? And he's got power, though. He doesn't look like he's real muscular. He's a little undersized. He'll knock some fuckers out. So, yeah, he's a live dog.
Rob's not the biggest.
And it's not any shade on him saying that Robert Whittaker's probably going to beat him. That's what happens when a top-level fighter runs across a world-class fighter most of the time.
Yeah. Well, and here's the thing, though, but, like, Rob Whittaker's not the biggest either. He's kind of
a little small, too.
Yeah.
Didn't he do 170 for a while?
Yeah.
Back in early in his career.
He lost to Wonder Boy. That's what was funny. I heard an interview with him and Brett Okamoto earlier this week, and he was like, are you chasing that Adesanya fight? And he was like, I'm just chasing the belt. He was like, yeah, but just, like, is he having a win over you? Like, does that haunt you? Do you want that back? He's like, if I just followed fights that I've lost all my career, I'd be chasing Wonder Boy up and down the street.
I like Whittaker. Yeah. Dude, if he wins and they make the Adesanya fight, that's going to be a big deal. They stick that shit down in New Zealand or Australia and that part of the world. Mm-hmm. That'd be a monster. I mean, look how big the Holly Holm Ronda Rousey fight was down there. And this two, like,
look
basically
at the fucking
hometown.
First fight they did, the first time they did it at Marvel, it was nuts.
Yeah. If they could do that with a crowd.
They've already done it. That's the same thing.
Yeah.
It's like, they'll just
it would
do
be
it
sick.
Again.
Yeah. It would be a big deal.
All over again.
So we'll see. But that's a solid fight at the top. You know, Jeremy Stephens is on the card. I always like watching Jeremy Stephens fight. He's still down at 145, I guess. He's fighting who? Jakar Close?
Yeah. Our close tough. Is tough, too.
That's tough, man. Stevens is, you know...
Close was supposed to fight, like, Louis Pena or something like that in his last fight, and it fell out.
Yeah, like I remember something like that.
But, James Stevens is a freaking fireball. You know what I mean? He's had his ups and downs in his career, but he always stays... You know, he's always in it.
Yeah, he's another hands of stone motherfucker.
Oh, yeah. Like,
Jeremy Stevens, even though he's...
Takes a lot
I'd
to
say
put him away,
peaked
too.
By now...
Well, it's hard.
You know,
it's hard not to say that he's been in the UFC for so long. It's not really like criticism or like you saying anything that's like he doesn't know.
He's
like,
always
going
to be a live dog, though.
Yeah.
Like I would, if I was betting, I'd bet on Close.
Been in the fucking UFC
never
for
count,
like 20 years, bro.
You can never count Jeremy Stephens out with power like that.
Yeah.
He's got a solid chin. He's got a lot of skill and a ton of heart.
And he's
I
got
expect
a lot
him
of
to lose here.
In there.
I want him to win. I expect him to lose.
to win. way you set that up. You know, he's got a lot of grit. He's a real great guy, but he's going to lose. So what are we talking about next?
Yes, sir.
But, yeah, I don't know. I think Jeremy probably gets it done just because not that Jakar is, like, not on Jeremy's level, but I just feel like, I don't know. He gets a little trigger happy sometimes, like we saw before in the past.
Who the fuck is that guy?
Yeah, the guy who's going to win next weekend.
I doubt it, dude. Next week, I'm going to be like, I told you. It won't be a big deal.
It won't be as big a deal as when like I told that. You. With Francis, though, boom. We're going callbacks. You guys hear that? That's a callback from earlier in the show.
I can't say nothing. I have to be silent in honor of still the greatest heavyweight UFC.
The nation of Stipe is in a lull right now. They're taking a little siesta. They'll be back in a couple months.
We'll fucking see. Speaking of heavyweight, so there's some heavyweight action on this card next week as well.
Oh, we got Andre Arlovski filling in, taking on Chase Sherman, who's an up-and-coming guy who's pretty
tough. I've seen Chase Sherman. This is his second stint, I do believe, in the UFC, because I remember Chase Sherman fighting in the UFC a while ago.
Really?
And now he's back. I'm pretty sure.
I could be wrong, because I'm high. So
probably. I'm pretty sure.
Probably. But I don't know.
Yeah. Andre has had decision after decision after decision. Now, he hasn't been winning them all. He's been losing them some.
Some good fights.
But he hasn't, like, that's just unusual for heavyweight to just have so many decisions. Fight. Yeah, but still, he's like, what, 4 decisions in a row in one?
Yeah. He was putting some wins together before this. I think he won, like, 3 of his last 5 or something like that.
Dude, it's cliche to say it, but, I mean, the heavyweight's always going to have a fucking chance to beat pretty much anybody.
Yeah, I'm taking Arlovski.
I like Arlovski here. I mean, yeah. I like him in the Chase Sherman game. I don't know.
So,
what about the rest of the card? I mean, there's not a lot to talk about.
It's
basically a dud card.
Yeah, so there's a couple ways we could take this right now. You want to talk about the UFC some more, or you want to maybe jump over?
Let's talk about the UFC some more.
Okay.
Because there is some action been popping off this week.
Yeah.
Outside of the
kinda
cage.
As we speak.
Yeah, with Conor McGregor. As I mentioned in the intro here, some Conor McGregor craziness, right? Between him and Dustin Poirier, who they were scheduled to fight July 10th, right? Poirier turned down the title shot, didn't he, Paul? To fight McGregor, who he knocked out in the previous fight. Of course, they're 1-1 on knockouts over each other. And McGregor had promised a $500,000 donation to the Good Fight Foundation that Dustin Poirier runs, correctly?
Yeah.
Right? Or correct, sir? And that was that, as far as we knew, right? Like, I remember Poirier's wife fucking thanked McGregor on the pay-per-view. That was about that, until suddenly some shit popped off on Twitter.
Yeah. Supposedly he said that Conor's people never got back to him about it.
Yeah, he basically, I mean, Poirier came out on Twitter and was like, responded to a tweet from McGregor basically saying, like, your fucking foundation, you predicted you were going to give us a half. That's what it was.
That's what he
McGregor
said.
McGregor made a prediction.
Fucking front kick him into the face and finish him.
Yeah, and he said that over Twitter.
Yeah.
Poirier claps back and says, yeah, you predicted you were going to give my donation fucking a half a mil, and you didn't follow through on that either, which really pissed McGregor off.
Yeah.
Who responded with several text messages, or I'm sorry, Twitter responses.
Call him a fucking hillbilly.
Calling him all sorts of names, basically saying he didn't know what he was talking about, that he hadn't presented a plan with the money, which is pretty standard when you're making massive donations to charities. You want to know what the money's for.
Yeah.
Like, that is actually a common thing. Mm-hmm. That's not McGregor talking shit. You don't just be like,
you
here,
don't
Dustin,
just
here's
hand
your half,
people
a mil.
Half a million dollars.
And it doesn't come from Conor directly. I mean, yes, it's his money, but it's not like Conor broke out his personal checkbook.
Yeah, it was like, oh, here you
He's
go,
like,
buddy.
Here you go.
Yeah.
That's not how it works. Like, his people handle this shit.
Yeah.
It is a taxable of, or I don't know how it works in Ireland. In America, most of these things are tax write-offs. I don't know how that works in Ireland, especially to an American fucking charity.
Yeah.
So Conor has people handling this shit.
Uh-huh.
According to Dustin, though, they reached out 3 times and didn't hear shit. What do you think, Paul? Let's just for now say that that's what happened.
Yeah.
What do you think of Dustin choosing to throw the shade at Connor personally on social media.
I like it, actually. It's like, not that it's like, you know.
Do you think
I don't really think either of them's like right or wrong in this situation. I'm just tired of them being fucking buddies all the time. Like, I'm glad there's some friction here. Like, I'm fucking tired of it.
Yeah, and like, more happens after this, but let's just talk about this. The putting it out there.
Yeah.
Instead of just the, fuck you, you're not going to knock me out. It's, hey, you didn't fucking come through. Because, I mean, it makes Connor look like Connor took all this, it seems, very personally.
Very personally, yeah.
And not only called Poirier a bunch of names to be expected, but then basically implied that he was too stupid to know how big money works.
Which is pretty funny. And that's a classic Connor line.
Yeah.
Remember in the business person's and, like, and let's talk business. All right, Nate, go get us some coffee.
Yeah.
That's the Connor.
You know, and Connor's not wrong. Yeah. When you're making a $500,000 donation to a charity, it's not the same thing as you threw.
You don't just like, hey, we're going to build a gym.
$2 to Goodwill. Like, oh, well, here's your check for your gym. Like, that's not how it's
Show me the fucking business plan. Show me how the gym's going to look. Show me all that shit. And yeah, let's move forward.
Right. And it's. So Connor claps back with that. And it goes back and forth. And then Connor basically says, fuck you. You're smearing my name. I ain't even going to fight you anymore on May 10th. So. Fuck off.
July 10th.
Yeah. And then, or on July 10th, yeah. And then opened up Twitter saying, replacement fighters, who wants in? I'll fight you instead. And we've had everybody from Michael Chandler.
Hold on. Michael Chandler's answer, though.
Fucking all kinds of people saying, I will.
I like Michael Chandler's answer, though. You know why? Because Michael Chandler's so thirsty to fight Connor. He wants to fight Connor so bad. His first, they were asking him the other day, about if he were to win the belt in May, who would his first defense be against? And he said Connor. What the fuck if he loses again? He's coming off a loss. And this motherfucker's talking about, yeah, it's my first defense, without a doubt.
Oh, yeah, he was even on board when Connor did some shit about creating a McGregor belt.
Yeah, he's like,
and Chandler's like, yeah, you should do that.
Yeah.
We'll fight for it.
Everyone wants, he wants to fight him.
I like
it. You know what? You know what I think a big part of that is, though? I feel like Chandler had an opportunity to fight Khabib, and I feel like he feels like he missed that chance. So he's not going to miss fighting two of the biggest money fights he could have ever fought. Him versus Khabib sells like hotcakes. Him versus Connor sells like hotcakes. Because, like, you know what? Ultimately, Michael Chandler's a better version of fucking Chad Mendes if him and Connor fight. Let's just be honest. Like, I see it going very similar to that.
You don't think it could go very similar to the Eddie Alvarez fight?
That too, but I don't know. Anything new?
No, Connor's last tweet on the subject was looking to start the foundation of a good fight, you guys. Who's in McGregor versus ? I like his wording there. Close the foundation in there. There's a lot of people that said that Connor was accusing Poirier of embezzling from his own charity. I didn't see that because Connor had mentioned something that to the effect of you don't just give somebody a fucking check with no plan because that's how
People could interpret it that way, though, because it also came off a tone like, I'm not just going to give you $500,000. You know what I mean? That really is just ultimately an interpretation. You know what I mean?
Yeah. All right. So, Connor, here, I'm going to read the tweets for everybody who doesn't get into Twitter and all this, just because I think this is a very interesting thing. This isn't your normal Twitter beef. Like, I, for one, I don't think Dustin really should have brought this up. I don't think that the spot. I think there's plenty of heat you could have without throwing that at Connor in social media. Like, Connor's generosity is pretty well known whether you like the fucking guy or not. You could do your own research. You'll find all kinds of Instagram videos. With just one thing I'll mention is hospitals all the fuck over Ireland, all through the COVID thing, publicly thanking McGregor for bringing in like literally hundreds of thousands of dollars of fucking PPE products to basically every hospital in Ireland, it seemed. Yeah. Like, and that's just one thing. Like, he does a lot with his money. He's got even more money now. Like, he sold his part of Proper. He got paid, cashed out, like, $320 million with fucking Proper. I mean, the dude's nearing $500 million net worth, probably more. I don't think he's welching on a fucking charity thing. I think there's probably miscommunication between his people and Dustin. I mean, Dustin said they tried three times. Like, really? I mean, what, you sent three emails? Like, what does that mean?
Yeah.
Like, if you sent three fucking emails and you didn't hear back, that's really...
We'll move on.
I mean, $500,000, you sent three fucking emails? I'm going to be honest. That sounds like some... That's weak shit right there. Yeah. That's weak sauce. Like, you pick up a phone, you call people. Maybe you hit Connor in the DMs. Like, yo, man, I'm having a hard time getting a hold of people at your foundation. Is everything cool? Or whatever. Yeah. Whoever the fuck writes Connor's checks for that shit, right?
Yeah.
So, but Dustin comes out and he's like, after Connor said he's going to kick him, he said, yeah, you also predicted a donation to my foundation. You and your team stopped responding after a fight in January. See you soon, blah, blah, blah. And fucking Connor comes right back with this, my team does due diligence to make sure every donation meets the mark. My generosity is known. You will pay with your brain for this attempt at smearing my name. Shooting ass, shelling ass, bitch. Little bitch kicks from a shell. Good luck when you're caught. You're fucked. And then he said, it was a donation, not a debt. We've been awaiting plans for the money that never came, as I do with all my donations. Know where it's going, dot for dot for dot. Otherwise, it goes walking. And then Dustin responds back to that. He's like, 100% never a debt. You offered, we accepted, and I sent your team. Your team never responded to our emails regarding the process of where the funds would be put to work. I mean, if you just sent three emails, it's like, I don't know, that seems like weak sauce, but...
I don't know. It's ultimately a weird, like, thing to unfold on Twitter.
Yeah, they exchange KO GIFs, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then the Diamond gets the last word on that, and then Connor really goes off. He's like, I don't know, these are some Irish insults, I guess. Because I don't really quite follow what he's saying here, but he's like, you're ripped, you inbred hillbilly. Why do you wink with your ears? You fucking brain dead hillbilly. 500K with no plan in place. Ye hang tight, fool. You must be new to money. The fight is off, by the way. I'm going to fight someone else on July 10th. Good luck on your old contract, kid. And then he wishes happy Ramadan to all his Muslim fucking fans. And then issues the said tweet looking for all comers on July 10th. Hmm. Even Kevin Lee's trying to get in that action now. So, my question, everybody that's listened and heard this now, respond in the comments. I want to hear Paul right now. Is this really off?
No.
Or is this just some bullshit?
And no, it's gonna fucking go way this is off. Come on, bro. Is this off? Get the fuck out of here. It's off. No way. It's not off. They're fucking fighting on July 10th. This is just like, ultimately, him being like, fuck you then. I'll go fight someone else. But ultimately, they're still fighting. Let's not get crazy here.
You know what's off?
What?
That fucking nice guy act.
I'm glad. I'm tired.
Me too.
I'm tired of it, man.
I think Angry Connor's a better Connor.
Well, not only is Angry Connor a better Connor, it's just actually better for his fucking game. Like, the game of... Let's be honest. Okay, let's just look back in his career. You think if he doesn't say a fucking word to Jose Aldo, he walks in there and knocks him out with one punch?
No.
No fucking way. Because you know what happened? Is he pestered him for months. Went on a world tour.
He did it with everybody. Twice. He's talked shit to every single fucking person.
Except his last two fights.
Right.
And let's just be honest. Those last two, like, obviously the Cowboy one was a beatdown. But the last fight, like, I don't know. It just felt too fun for me.
Dude, he pulled into Abu Dhabi on his fucking Lamborghini yacht that he owns. Yeah. I didn't know Lamborghini made yachts. I'm really not fucking up on that shit. But he rolled in on some fucking player shit. Like, that's levels that most people, we don't even know. Understand. We don't understand it. We can just hear that and we try to comprehend it, but we have no idea what that's like.
Yeah.
And so that's a lot different than when you're the fucking plumber on welfare and you got these burning goals in your head of being a dual champ, being a champ.
Yeah, true.
And you're fucking hungry. Even when the money starts rolling in, you're still hungry for that goal.
Yeah.
Now he met the goal. He's ridiculously paid, dude.
Yeah.
Like, how good must that feel? I don't give a fuck whether you like Conor McGregor or not. That dude invented a goddamn whiskey brand off the top of his fucking head.
Pretty much.
And then drove it up in value and then did the big cash out like all these other fucking players do with these celebrity fucking shits and turned it into 320 mil.
That's a lot.
On top of whatever he made off the brand before that.
Yeah. And doesn't he still have like a stake in like the marketing?
I'm sure he does. Yeah, I'm sure he still has a piece of it, just like Ryan Reynolds and Clooney and all these guys who did similar things.
Yeah.
You know, this is a fucking... He's not on their level when it comes to celebrity. You know what I mean? So, yeah, he didn't. Like, I mean, I think
maybe
Reynolds got like 600 or whatever. They got more, but he's a fucking MMA fighter.
Yeah.
Like, he's got all this shit. He's super successful, man. And he goes in and plays nice guy with fucking Poirier. And
yeah, I don't like it.
He fought like shit, I thought. You thought he fought good. I didn't like it. And he's changed up so much, right?
Yeah.
And fuck it. You got to go back to Hungry Angry Conor. You can at least manufacture some of that shit because you're never going to be hungry again.
Yeah.
But you could be hungry for some respect.
True.
You could be hungry for respect.
You could be hungry for legacy.
Legacy. Not going out like that.
Yeah.
And I think Conor has all that fire in him if he decides to turn it on. But
he's still not even that old either.
Well, he's got a great 31, record. 32. He's lost 3 fucking fights. I mean,
yeah.
In the UFC at least. I know he had one or two before that. He's lost 5 total. But So I don't like the fact that Poirier brought this shit in. I think it does add heat. I think the fight is definitely on. I don't think Conor's going to fight anybody but Poirier unless there's something outside factor like were to come into play.
Yeah, definitely.
And I don't think it's fake heat either. I think Conor's irate at this. I don't think that he's playing it up.
I think it's a mixture. I think he also is like, I don't know, because that is kind of a fucked up claim. Like, yeah, you're not helping the fucking people who need
help. Dude, it's a charity donation from a fucking really, really, really multimillionaire.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that's a,
Well, let's bounce over it a little bit here. So, from the UFC to the PFL. So, the PFL has had some news lately that they're finally got a fight for Clarissa Shields on June 10th, which is pretty close.
That is pretty close.
She's been training MMA for about a year and a half, almost 2 years. She's 26 years old.
I mean,
is this really a thing?
10-time world champion boxer.
Yeah. If you don't know who Clarissa Shields are, fuck out of under the rock you live in.
Right. I'm very interested in this.
Yeah.
I'm really quite pleased, as we've mentioned before in the show, that she went to the PFL out of everywhere she could have gone.
I don't like it. But
I think that she needs to start small and work her way up, just like Kayla Harrison, who is a specialist in judo, who is now a fucking legitimate threat.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she gets, I think, her hands on some of these people her size, like Cyborg. I think she'll fuck them up. And I think Clarissa Shields has that potential, as long as she doesn't jump into the UFC for one fucking thing and get embarrassed a la James Toney style. So I like it. I like her there.
But here's the thing, though. So she watched, like, when she talks about what made her want to be an MMA fighter, she talks about Amanda Nunes, and she's like, I could totally whoop her. Like, if that's the fight she's chasing, she also has to lose, like, another 10 or 15 pounds.
Yeah, I think that's just a way to get her name inserted into mixed martial arts. And I'm saying I'm sure she wishes she could fight her, but it's not realistic. Because she's bigger. She's still boxing. And she's not going to make fucking 145 anytime soon. Amanda's on the way out the door. I mean, let's be honest. What, do you think she's going to stick around another 5 fucking fights, 3 more years?
I mean, I don't see what's really stopping her, though.
She could. But, I mean, she's a new mom. She's pretty much done everything. The 45 division in the UFC is about to just wither off the vine and die.
Yeah, true. Or it could be Clarissa Shields. Could be the whole division.
Well, I'm really excited to see Clarissa, who she's also starting to get a little heat in boxing as well. So, with another opponent. So, we'll talk about that a little bit later, though. PFL's doing some pretty exciting things.
Yeah, I'm excited for this.
We were talking shit a few months ago about them possibly just going out, but they seem to
they've recovered.
Back with some action.
Well, how do you think she does, though?
Oh, I think she'll probably win if she's matched up correctly.
Yeah. Me too.
I mean, she's a world-class talent on the feet.
Here's the thing with wrestling, though. Wrestling is something that, like, you either get it or you don't. Like, honestly, there's plenty of guys I've seen in my lifetime that work just as hard as I did, that work some of them harder and all that shit, and they just, and not even, like, saying that I was that good, but, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's just some people that fundamentally, when it comes to grappling, are willing to or not willing to. And I'm very curious to see how she would, you know, how she would react to somebody trying to take her down. You know what I mean?
I'm certain that, you know, that's her main focus. But we're also talking about not your average person coming into this. I mean, yeah. She's a world-class athlete who definitely knows how
smaller
to focus
gloves too.
And focus her will on what she's doing. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, she's levels above everyone else in women's boxing.
Oh, yeah,
obviously.
For sure. Yeah.
And that's because she's trained her goddamn ass off.
Yeah.
And she applies that same type of thing, that same type of focus and determination. I mean,
oh,
she's
yeah,
down
she
at fucking Jackson Wink.
Yeah.
Like, you're right. She's not going to ever be a world-class wrestler, but she might be good enough to enough takedowns to
saying.
Knock somebody the fuck out.
I'm not even saying that. I'm saying at the smallest level. I'm saying at the smallest level. I'm just saying more people are inclined to, like, move the way you move when you grapple and some don't. And that's what I'm curious to see when I see her fight. Like I was talking about. You know what I'm saying? Like, some, like, there's a style to wrestling. You know what I mean? Like, where, like, some people are just more willing to, like, take that chance. You know what I mean? Whether they've grappled before or not.
Well, let's talk about her boxing action as well right now. Because she's doing both simultaneously. And she's getting some heat with this girl named Savannah Marshall. Savannah Marshall's 10-0 with 8 KOs. Like, she's knocking some people out. Clarissa Shields has, like, 2 KOs. I mean, she's not 3, maybe. She's not known.
She just works them all
over. You know, she's like, she's a boxer. She's not a power puncher.
Yeah.
But Marshall just happens to also be the last person and the only person to ever beat Shields in boxing. She holds a amateur win over her. It's not the biggest deal.
Yeah.
One amateur win in 2012. But there is a little bit of story there. And she's promoted by Tommy Hearn, who says they're trying to put that fight together as a super fight to headline like a Dazen card or something similar to that. And, you know, Clarissa's clapping back. She says she's full of fucking hype.
You mean
she's
Eddie
down
Hearn?
The fighter. Did I say Thomas Hearn?
Yeah.
That's funny. I thought that after I said it, and I was just like, I'm just going to roll with that. But yeah, Eddie Hearn, Matchroom Boxing.
Yeah.
That's what I meant. You know, there's so much. Tommy Hearn's back in the news lately with his Four Kings and all this stuff going on.
Yeah.
You know, but anyways, have you seen the ads for that?
Mm-mm.
Oh, dude, yeah, it's coming out in June. I think they're doing a dope ass miniseries called Four Kings on all those guys. Should be
yeah,
good.
They did a podcast on hot boxing where it was him, Sugar Ray Leonard, Mike, and then it was Shane Mosley. It's pretty cool.
So, Clarissa Shields got a lot of action going on, is what I'm saying. And I'm very interested in both how she does with MMA and how she does bouncing back and forth between boxing and that as well. So
now from boxing to what we're going to, I guess, call boxing. So, Jake Paul and Ben Askren are fighting this weekend.
They're like headlining that? A fucking
they're
thriller
fighting.
Card. They're not fighting, they're boxing.
They're fighting.
And that's why I think we'll see. It's a $49.99 pay-per-view. I don't know if that's going to sell.
Steep price.
I'm not buying that shit.
Yeah, I'm not, no.
I'm not even close. And I thought the last thriller one with Tyson, I thought the production was amazing. It's fucking great. I'm not paying that for Ben Askren and Jake Paul.
Yeah, no. I can't.
If you're somehow listening and you don't know what we're talking about, Jake Paul is a YouTuber.
Slash boxer.
Who is a licensed professional boxer, but he hasn't fought any other. Yeah, he'll show you his license on his YouTube videos. Fucking lame shit. You know, he fought a YouTuber and a NBA player. Neither one of them knew how to fight. And that's it. And now he's picked Ben Askren, an MMA fighter who is known for his wrestling.
Yeah.
He's a good MMA fighter. Great, you could even say. World champion in Bellator, world champion in ONE. He used his striking to set up his takedowns, right, Paul?
Yep.
Who do you think, sir? But we're all hesitant here because his striking's atrocious, dude. His boxing is awful.
It's really bad.
These fucking videos that Ben Askren is putting out, I'm embarrassed watching them. Yeah. I don't know who these people are that are coaching him.
I wonder if crazy jumping if he's sandbagging hooks. And just comes out and just fucking claps him.
He better be trolling.
Because, you know, Jake Paul's he better be trolling the whole time.
It'd these be the fucking videos troll. Better be trolls.
If he KOs Jake Paul, it'd be the ultimate troll moment. Because, like, you know. It is what it is.
Dude, we watched a video before the show today.
Yeah, I didn't like it.
That had Ben Askren working pads with a guy. I don't think he's a boxing guy because he's telling him to... He's showing him some crazy, throwing a number three hook, jumping up off your feet, and doing some nonsense.
Yeah, but that also could be trolling, though. Like, that's what I'm saying. Because then he jumps on the bag. When he jumps on the bag, I mean, everyone looks good on the bag. But then when he jumped on the bag, it looked like he was actually, like, not doing anything that dude was saying and was doing things the right way.
Yeah, but we can't just skip over that uppercut session.
Yeah, but we also can't forget that Ben Askren also fucking literally tweeted a complete reenactment of Rocky IV a week ago.
Yeah, like, well, those upper. Let me just to highlight people that don't understand the uppercuts that he was hitting pads with in this video. Yeah. You can look up. I mean, that's not how you throw an uppercut.
No,
it was nonsense. It was nonsense shit.
Nonsensical for sure.
That was like some fucking Happy Gilmore nonsense.
Yeah, but you know what
I
mean.
His trainer's telling him to hold his breath and get lower, and he's doing half a fucking goddamn bolo punch, which is like, dude, I'm a former boxer. That's not how you fucking train anybody, and it's not like I'm some fucking expert anymore, but
I hope
that better be a troll dog.
He is fucking sandbagging.
Because if that's his shit, he's gonna lose to Jake Paul, and we're all gonna be fucking embarrassed from the MMA world.
I'm gonna hate it if Jake Paul beats him.
I'm gonna be so mad. I want Ben to win. I'm talking shit, but I want Ben to win.
Yeah.
But if that's his game for real,
I'm worried,
dude. If that's his game, dog. Your average everyday fucking gym rat gonna tool his ass up in pure boxing.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's not throwing shade at Ben. Mm-hmm. He's a great fighter. This isn't a fucking fight. This is a boxing match.
Yeah, that's just what it is.
Please, Ben, win. I hope he wins.
Yeah.
I hope to God. And there's people like Firas Zahabi, the famed trainer from TriStar in Canada, who says that he thinks Astrum's gonna win because he's gonna make it dirty. He's gonna clinch and get nasty. And use what he knows about space and fighting to wear Paul out into the later rounds, and then he'll somehow knock him out.
Or TKO Ben. Him, or like get him on the stool or something.
And then there's Ben supporters who say, hey, 1/3 of his wins are by knockout, but that's a bit misleading.
Somewhat, but yeah.
Yeah, but those are all from when he was in ground and pound position. Yeah. He had taken somebody down, he's on top, he's ground and pounding him, and the ref calls it off.
Yeah,
I mean, yeah, that's a TKO or a knockout, yes, but that's not.
Well, it does resemble some bit of power to be able to knock people out in general.
He can punch.
Yeah.
If this was MMA, he'd fucking smoke this Paul kid. He'd embarrass him.
Yeah.
He'd embarrass him way more than Paul might embarrass him in this fucking boxing match.
Yeah, if he catches him or some shit and, like, drops Ben and wins by decision or something.
He's bigger, too. Paul is bigger than him.
Yeah. But that's the thing, is like, what if he, like, drops Ben and just, like, wins the match?
That'd be so sad. And that's not because I'm some Ben Askren fan.
Not like knockout. Not like knockout, but, like, Ben gets up, but they just go 8 rounds, and Jake Paul wins 7 rounds to 1 or some shit like that.
Like, that wouldn't be as bad. I mean, what'll be really bad is a KO.
I just don't see Ben getting KO'd. When the fuck
don't either, dude. He's been in the world.
You would have to be in the mindset that Ben Askren was gonna get knocked out by Jake Paul. That would literally, you'd have to concede the fact that you think that fucking Jake Paul hits harder than Robbie Lawler, no. Douglas Lima, Andre Korshkov.
I don't believe any of that.
Yeah. Even, like, come on.
No, Askren has legit shared the cage with killers and come out victorious like the vast majority of the fucking time. Everybody wants to talk shit about that Masvidal shit. Let's be honest. It was some lucky shit. Ben made a mistake, and Masvidal had a plan that happened to capitalize on that mistake.
I like how now that, like, Ben's fighting again, he just totally was like, fuck you, George. I don't care. I can't talk about it anymore. You know that was the luckiest thing you've ever done in your entire life, and 9 out of 10 times I beat you in that fight. And
he kind of sunned him a little bit.
Yeah, he did a little bit. George has lost a lot of flame to me, man.
Dude. You and me and a whole lot of other people, if you read the comments, at least on Twitter and MMA fucking you know, website, MMA news article comment sections, like, nobody likes, he's supporting Jake Paul in this shit.
Yeah, it's rough.
And that has the MMA world a little bit ticked off.
So who are you taking?
Dude, I have to take Askren. Yeah, I can't fucking pick this kid.
For the right,
I can't stand this motherfucker.
Party. Yeah, for
sure. I'll be legit sad if he loses. So
if he loses, I'm just
like, I ain't paying for that nonsense. Hit us up in the comments, wherever you're listening to us, be it on the website, any of the outlets. Just who do you think is going to win this fight?
Yeah, or you think there's a stipulation in the contract that if Ben takes him down, there's like fucking something crazy happens. Loses money or some shit.
I don't know. That'd be some bitch shit. I could see a guy like Floyd Mayweather doing that with Conor.
But you know what I mean, though? What
Jake
if,
Paul?
What if
I don't know.
What if like, literally he goes into the fight, he's in the middle of a combo, and it's just so muscle memory that he takes Jake Paul down and just starts beating his face in on the ground?
I don't even know.
I almost would have liked that better.
I would mind it.
I wouldn't mind it.
I wouldn't be sad.
Yeah.
What about this Triller shit, man? While we're talking about it, it's not a long subject, but I mean, there's been a little bit of noise from about Triller maybe not paying people.
Yeah,
Mike Tyson kind of let that shit loose on his podcast,
right? Mike Tyson
was
like, maybe I shouldn't talk about this, but fuck it. Legends Only League is separate from Triller. We're not the same thing. That they still haven't even paid me my backside of my money. So I was like,
That's a
shady.
That's not a good thing to hear. We don't know any more facts than that. I will say, once again, they put on a tremendous thing with that Roy Jones, Mike Tyson. The production
it was great.
Knocked UFC's production out of the goddamn ballpark. Like,
but how much did it cost? And how much did they return?
They're paying big money for some boxing. Yeah. I don't know, man. I hope that that's not true. I hope that it's just a standard delay that
like
might come with
pay-per-view
or things
maybe.
Like that. And hopefully. Tyson's just lamenting that fact.
Getting a little baked.
Maybe. I'd like to hope that that's the case, because there's enough fucking shady shit in combat sports where these fighters don't get paid. I don't give a fuck if you're Mike Tyson, Connor, or some fucking regional dude. Mm-hmm. And everybody in between. We have enough of that shit. We don't need any more.
Yeah.
So let's hope that that's nonsense. But
yeah,
man, maybe more will unfold in the weeks to come.
Yeah.
But who are you taking?
I'm taking Ben.
Dude, we can possibly pick
Ben by decision.
By de facto, Ben Askren is.
I think Ben's gonna win the fight.
MMA in this
he's gonna win the fight 5-3. He's gonna lose the first 3 rounds. Jake Paul's gonna get tired. The last 5, he's just gonna pitter patter him for 5 rounds to win the fight.
Yeah, I can tell you one thing that Jake Paul and Ben Askren, what we won't see in that fight is like when Nate Robinson just rushed fucking Paul and he left him cold on the fucking mat. I think that really went to that kid's head, but that ain't going to happen. Ben ain't going to do stupid shit. He knows how to fight. Mm-hmm. We'll see, man. We'll see. There's a decent undercard on there. We got Frank Mir fighting Steve Cunningham on that card.
Yeah.
Now, that's interesting because Frank is currently signed to BKFC. Mm-hmm. But
so this would be like good practice for him.
Dave Feldman let him go do this.
Well, and Dave Feldman was also talking about it, and he was saying that, like, he understands it was a big opportunity for him to make some money. And if he goes in there and he looks great, then obviously he knows he's going to get a fight out of him in BKFC. But he knows that if he goes out there and Frank looks terrible, that it could kind of fuck his own investment up. But
yeah, folks, if you don't know who Steve Cunningham is or Frank Mir, Frank Mir is a former UFC heavyweight champion and longtime MMA fighter, not really known for his boxing skills. Definitely known for his jiu-jitsu, but
he's got solid striking.
He's got solid. He's not like...
He has knockouts on the feet.
Yeah, plenty.
Plenty.
And he's a big dude.
Yeah, big motherfucker.
He was originally fighting someone else.
Tarver. Antonio Tarver.
But Tarver couldn't get licensed because he's 52. So now they brought in Cunningham, who's 44 years old. He hasn't fought since 2017. He fought on the McGregor Mayweather undercard and lost. But he is a former IBF Cruiserweight Championship champion. I think he held it twice, between once in 2007 and then somewhere back in 2011.
Okay.
So, I mean, he's a legit fucking boxer here. He's not like a can. He's not some tomato can fucking punk that Mir was using those words pretty much word for word, which he said he was happy about that. It's a real test.
Yeah.
I hope Frank wins because I want to see him in BKFC.
Yeah.
And Feldman to me, when I was listening to some of the interviews he's done lately, he made it kind of sound like if Frank lost or looked bad, he was like, we'll talk about it.
Well, that's the thing, is because you got to imagine getting Frank Mir to the table probably takes a number that doesn't take other guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And, like, I don't know. The PKFC heavyweights are pretty solid right now. It's not like something where...
So we've got a title eliminator coming up later this month that we'll talk about in the next upcoming episodes. But
Yeah,
they got talent up there. Joey Beltran's their heavyweight champ.
Which, I think Frank Mir could probably beat him.
I think he probably could, too. Joey Beltran maybe is also a UFC heavyweight fighter. Mm-hmm. But he's definitely found his home here in the BKFC, but... I hope Mir wins. I hope we see him in the BKFC. Now, let's talk about them for a minute before we dive into boxing a little bit more. In the same interview we're talking about with Feldman, he mentioned another name who is signed and going to be making an appearance quite soon, apparently, and that is fucking Wanderlei Silva, bro.
Yeah.
The axe murderer.
Yeah.
Who I think is 45. But
I was going to say.
Dude, it's okay. This isn't MMA.
Axe murdering days are... kind of behind him, but...
Yeah, but he can let them axes swinging in the fucking BKFC.
Man, he's already got a leather face enough, though, man. Like, jeez.
Man, I wonder what weight he's going to be.
Probably, like, cruiserweight.
I don't think they have a cruiserweight. I think they got a light heavyweight.
It's probably like heavyweight, then.
I don't know. Their weight classes are all different. Same names, completely different weights.
Well, is it like boxing weight classes?
I don't think so. I mean, again, same names. Like, their featherweights are like 135 or some crazy shit. I can't remember offhand. Mm. But I'm very interested in seeing that. They've got Paige VanZant coming back in July, it sounded like, as a co-headliner. Could be someone headlining that card would be a Frank Mir or maybe a Wanderlei Silva. Or they're also still looking at JDS and Alistair Overeem as well.
Yeah, maybe. I could see someone like Bellator or someone like that picking up those two rather than BKFC.
I think Bellator might get one of them, but not both.
You don't think so?
Mm-mm. And the PFL season is like pretty much signed and done, right? I don't think they can make any big fucking signings, so that's off the table.
And if they do, it's like one-offs. Yeah.
Right. And it seems like the BKFC has some money to toss around. You know,
I wouldn't be surprised.
Like, they gave Paige a pretty hefty fucking payment.
Yeah, they did the same thing with, like, Malignaggi and a few other people.
So we'll see. I'm excited with what they're doing. And like I said, we'll get into the bare knuckle game in upcoming episodes as BKFC 17 approaches.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what about Tyson Fury and Francis Ngannou?
Yeah, I think it's just as much talk as John Jones with Francis Ngannou.
Yeah, Francis was clapping about, I'd like to fight Tyson Fury in boxing. And that's been his dream even before mixed martial arts. And that's great and good luck. And Fury clapped back and basically was like,
can't touch me.
You couldn't. Yeah, and he's right. I mean,
maybe.
Francis Ngannou would get murdered in the boxing ring by Tyson Fury.
Yeah, but Francis Ngannou has like that fucking kind of power where he put a boxing glove.
He's got like that Deontay Wilder power.
Straight up.
Yeah, and we've seen what happened.
Yeah.
It's another case of it's just talk. That fight's never going to happen, and Francis wouldn't want that smoke anyways.
Maybe it would be a hefty payday.
Yeah, it'd be a hefty payday. I don't think the UFC would ever allow it. This ain't 46-year-old Floyd Mayweather versus Conor. You know what I mean? This is fucking your heavyweight champ
fighting
who Dana White damn well knows Tyson Fury. Because it's boxing, dude.
Yeah.
Like, and you're talking about Tyson Fury, who is not just a heavyweight, but in boxing overall, one of the best pure boxers on the goddamn planet.
Mm-hmm.
And yet... Francis has a lot of power, and Francis wings wild shit that works in MMA just fine. His fucking wild shit, he ain't gonna lay a fucking hand on Fury, bro.
True.
I wouldn't want to see it. And that's not throwing shade at Francis. That's like, just like he's not gonna put on ice skates and go fucking score a goal on the Golden Knights either.
Yeah.
I mean, just because you punch well in one thing doesn't mean you're a boxer. It's a cool dream. Maybe you can fight some fucking low-level dude.
Yeah.
he might be able to knock out some fucking club dudes or some other shit.
You know? Yeah.
Fuck, but not the lineal champion of the fucking world. True. The dude who's likely to unify all the titles.
Yeah.
The man named after Mike Tyson. Shit.
Yeah, true.
I love him, but it ain't happening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, boxing had a pretty interesting announcement here recently that I like a lot in the lightweight division. Because mm-hmm. we've got a mess going on
in the fucking really lightweight weird. Division. Like, you got super champions, regular champions, interim world
champions, yeah. diamond world king champ.
Yeah, it's fucking dumb.
But what happened is you've got, like, Teofimo Lopez left, and, like, Devin Haney, I think, was just, like, gifted the fucking belt.
No, it was when Loma left.
Lomo left.
Yeah, when Loma left.
Yeah, that's right. I'm
Loma
sorry.
Was only fighting one time a year. So yeah. WBC was like, okay, we need to make you the franchise champion. And
elevate this other dude to world champion.
Yeah, the world champion. So he defends the belt. And
then they made an interim title
yeah.
in this process, which Ryan Garcia won the interim title
yeah.
in his comeback victory against Luke Campbell. He KO'd him, wins the interim title, right? But also at the same time, Javier Fortuna becomes the mandatory challenger with his victory that he had in 2019.
Yeah.
And then you've got Devin Haney, who has a fight already scheduled, a voluntary defense against somebody else.
Yeah.
And so now you've actually got two basically mandatory number one contenders in the interim champion and a mandatory champion.
Yeah.
So the fucking WBC just decided we're going to have these two fight each other, which I actually think is a good thing.
Yeah.
I think that was a nice move. So we're going to have Ryan Garcia fight Javier Fortuna for the right to then go unify what will still be the interim title after that with fucking Devin Haney. So it's a nice way to clean up a bit of a mess.
Yeah, yeah. For everyone who was not able to see through the bullshit, that was a good way to explain it.
Right, there's a lot of nonsense.
Yeah,
in this.
It's a lot of nonsensical bullshit when we're talking about belts, franchise champions, silver interim champions, and shit like that.
It's just too much. And then they go and make these world champion things. They did just did the same thing to Pacquiao. I mean, they elevated him to the world champion or whatever.
And then because he hasn't defended his belt, but it like was stripped, right. But it wasn't stripped. So
yeah, it's like there's enough.
I don't fucking.
Everybody knows that's the shitty thing about boxing right now.
Yeah.
Although overall, I think boxing's in a good spot.
The championship scene is still holding them down.
Yeah, man. Good Lord.
Mm-hmm.
But I like Ryan Garcia in that fight, and I'm definitely interested in a Ryan Garcia versus Devin Haney title unification bout
in
the future.
Yeah.
No shade towards Fortuna, who's also a solid, solid fucking fighter, but I think Garcia is just the better guy there.
It's a better prospect, you know, I guess, yeah.
Yeah. Fucking, you know, Oscar's definitely hoping that.
Yeah.
Like, that's, you know, that guy a lot of people think is the future of Golden Boy right now.
He's got to be.
So, he's got the opportunity here.
Mm-hmm.
See if he can seize up on it.
Yep.
Whew. I think that's the show today.
Yeah, I think that about wraps it
right?
up.
Right, because, and the reason being, we're out of weed. We're out of combat sports to talk about. So that means the show is over.
That's run the credits.
Listen, if you're tuning in for the very first time, we'd like to welcome you. You can find out all of the information about our show from like the KLVM radio station that we're on, all our various podcast outlets. We're on Amazon. You can get our episodes as Audible books even. You can find us on Spotify. You can find us all over the web, including video on YouTube and a bunch of other places. Where's all that information located, Paul?
SWATMMA.com, where you can head over there, click the gear button, support the podcast. And yeah, guys, thanks for listening.
See you next week.
Peace.